If we fail to grasp God's limitless mercy, we might struggle to show mercy to others. That parable that Jill's just read to us is one of Jesus' most powerful in-your-face parables. There is nowhere to hide. It's one of those stories that speaks to all Christians everywhere, in every place. And none of us can hide from the fact that forgiving others for the wrongs that they've committed against us is not an integral part of Christian discipleship. No one claims it's easy, but tough as it might seem, Jesus makes clear that bearing grudges is not an option. And actually, bearing grudges so often has a negative effect on us as human beings. Robert E. Lee commanded the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia in the American Civil War. And after the war, the story is told that he visited a woman in Kentucky who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. And there she bitterly cried and complained that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. And she looked to Lee for a word, either condemning the North or at least sympathizing with her loss. But after a brief silence, Lee simply said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it." It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain, to let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life. We all get hurt, and we all hurt others. Sometimes people hurt us very deliberately, by their words and by their actions. On other occasions, hurt is caused unconsciously. But such hurts can strike at the very core of our being. And a natural reaction is to strike out or to allow a grudge to build up within us. But into that, Jesus reminds us that it's the countercultural response of forgiveness that marks out the believer. Let's have a look at this parable, just a few thoughts for us to ponder on. First of all, I always wonder with these stories, I wonder what the backstory is to Peter asking his question. How many times shall I forgive? Knowing something of Peter's personality, I don't imagine it was just an academic sort of question. Just supposing someone hurt me, how many times would I have to forgive them? With Peter's big mouth and his size 13 boots, I imagine that during his time he'd wound up a few people. He'd caused them to say and do things which hurt him. I can't imagine that Peter was an easy fellow disciple. So surely he's wrestling with some very real conundrum. And the traditional Jewish thought was that you should forgive someone three times and that was where your obligation ended. So Peter probably thought he was being quite generous, extending that to seven times, a number seen as the perfect number. But Jesus' response is amazing, isn't it? He multiplies that seven beyond comprehension. He's saying, forgive and forgive and forgive and go on forgiving. Not seven times, but 70 times seven, and then some more. And the parable tells us why we should go on forgiving. And the essence of the why is because of what the father, or the king in the story, has done for us. The servant in the parable has no way of repaying the debt that he owes. It's about 20 years of a typical labourer's wage that we're talking about. And so he's deluded, completely deluded, when he grovels at the king's feet and says, "I will pay back everything." Because there's no chance of him repaying that debt. It's just not possible. It's totally unrealistic. Just as we can never repay the debt we owe to God for sending his son to die for us, thus opening a way to forgiveness and new life. We're dependent on the extravagant and unconditional forgiveness of the king. Justin Welby, the Archbishop, was speaking yesterday morning to all the clergy and lay ministers in the diocese, and he spoke of the absurdly and insanely generous God. The absurdly and insanely generous God. And we need to grasp that, don't we, in fuller measure, just what that means for us. Back to the parable, and the servant in the story, having been forgiven, goes out and bullies a colleague who owes him the equivalent of perhaps a day's wage, and totally ignores his pleas for leniency and more time to pay. And we can read that story and we can think, you little! Mirroring the outrage of his fellow servants. But let's not kid ourselves. Despite the incomparable mercy of God shown to us, we do often find it difficult, sometimes near on impossible, to forgive others who've wronged us, even in small ways. How many of us have been in a situation, perhaps in an office, a factory, or a school gate conversation, where someone is being run down verbally? Bitching about people, the sharing of petty grievances, undermining the reputation of another human being, and those things reflecting a hard heart and an unwillingness to let bygones be bygones. What's it like in our family lives as we replay time and time again grievances against other members of our families, our immediate families, or perhaps our wider families? People who've hurt us in a way that's led to broken relationships. And let's not kid ourselves, where is such unforgiveness evident in the church community? It might be grievances against the leadership. It might be grievances against one another. And in a community the size of Christchurch, it's relatively easy to grumble in corners rather than face up to things head on. We have been forgiven much, and Christ calls us to forgive others. As the king said to the unforgiving servant, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In other words, just sort it out. And Jesus isn't suggesting a doormat forgiveness, where someone hurts us and we just let it happen and let people continually take advantage of us. Hurtful actions have consequences. Think about the extremes of the Rotherham abuse scandals uncovered in recent months. Perpetrators must be brought to justice. But Jesus is speaking more of an attitude of heart, a forgiveness that recognizes the humanity of the other and sees them as God sees them. Whatever we might think of Ian Paisley, who died this week, we can't help but be inspired by the way he turned from being a bitter enemy of Martin McGuinness and all he stood for to being a friend. Begrudgingly at first, perhaps, but inspired by a higher vision of peace in Northern Ireland, putting the past behind him and moving forward, to the extent that those two could be known as the Chuckle Brothers as they sat beside one another in government. They had a choice to make. Both the king and the servant in the parable had choices to make. And we too have a choice to make. Jesus chose from a cross in the face of his persecutors to pray, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. We didn't see Jesus going around holding grudges. Yes, he was prepared to challenge and critique, but he held lightly to these things. What choices will we make? Are we prepared to forgive as God has forgiven us? And this is hard-hitting stuff. It may well have ruffled a few feathers this morning, uncovered some sores. But this is actually foundational stuff that we need to engage with if we're to take our discipleship seriously. If not today, then in the months ahead, perhaps even seeking professional help if necessary. For unforgiveness leads to deep-rooted bitterness and resentment. And yet forgiveness is the way to freedom. God's forgiveness of us is the way to freedom and new life. Our forgiveness of others leads to freedom. There's opportunity later on in the service, as usual, to receive prayer. There'll be folks both at the back here to pray a prayer of blessing with you, but also to pray in the side rooms. Do take the opportunity if you've been struck by something that's been said this morning. And as the team were praying before the service, someone had some words that came to mind and an image. And it was an image of a large caretaker's brush, one of those enormous ones that seems to sweep up everything. An image was of this brush sweeping away the old because the new is tumbling in. There's also a sense of that verse that speaks of the renewal of our minds, the renewal of our minds and our thinking. Maybe that applies to us as individuals and relates into this forgiveness. Maybe it applies to us as a church. So why don't we just pause for a few moments and just think and ask ourselves, what might God be saying to me through this passage and our reflections this morning? Let's just be still and just be real before God. Later we'll pray in the Lord's Prayer these words: forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let's ask that we might be able to pray those things with integrity. Lord God, in the light of your absurdly and insanely generous nature, we recognize that we often fall short and we struggle. We struggle in this area of forgiveness. We sometimes hold grudges against others and fail to see them as you see them. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would work in us, you would bring about your transformation, you'd bring about your renewal of our minds. But in our living and in our thinking, we might reflect your great generosity to others. So work in us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' victorious name, Amen.